for listening to the Rivers Podcast. For more information on this teaching, visit our website at theriver.info.
No, that wasn't me.
Nice. So we pick up the story right in the midst of a battle. Because your story is right in the midst of a battle. Now, two things from this reel-to-reel movie, Rogue One. But before we do that, we've got to do a little review. Who remembers the first movie that we did in this reel-to-reel series? Trolls. Dylan, can you catch? You can catch? You sure? There you go, buddy. You can catch. Way to go. Yeah, and so we started the series, reel-to-reel, watching the movie Trolls, with our God goggles on. You remember, if you put your God goggles on, you'll be able to see biblical truth in Hollywood movies. And in the movie Trolls, we see that there is an enemy set against all of humanity. And I remember telling you on that first Sunday in the series, I pointed at you and said, y'all a bunch of trolls. And I think I had you point to your neighbor. Go ahead and point to your neighbor and say, you're a troll. And what I meant by that is, like the trolls in the movie Trolls, there's an enemy of your soul, right? You cannot read the Bible without seeing that there's an enemy at work. And I shared for you on that very first Sunday in this series that my favorite verse is the second part of John chapter 10, where Jesus says, I've come that they might have life and have it to the full. But then I said, man, I wish there wasn't the first part of that verse, because the first part of the verse says this: there's a thief who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And so throughout the scriptures, there's an enemy. He's revealed as Satan, the serpent, the dragon, the accuser of the brethren and the sistren, and the liar, the father of lies. Now, in the movie Trolls, who can tell me in this section right here the name of the evil beings trying to get the trolls? Bergens, you got it. Second row, so close, Drew. Boom, there you go. It's the Bergens, right? The Bergens reminded us that there is an enemy of our souls. There is an enemy of your story, too. Did y'all know this? Did y'all? I'm glad three of you did. That's why we review. There's an enemy of your soul. And I remember saying on that first Sunday in this series that some of you are thinking, oh, this again? We're talking about the enemy of our souls. You do this at least once or twice a year. And then I said on that Sunday, the same thing I'm going to say now. If you're thinking, oh, are we going to talk about the enemy of our souls again? Well, not really. I got two other things I want to say, but it's worth reviewing. And if you're over thinking, oh, why are we doing this? Because sometimes our heads are too thick to get the teaching in one or two times. And some of you have heard this a million times, that Satan exists and is working against us, and yet you continue to live your life like there is no enemy. So maybe this is the time it's going to get through your thick skull. What do you think? Thick-skulled people. Everybody point at me and say, you too. Yeah, we got to. You know, C.S. Lewis says we rarely need to be taught, but we often need to be reminded. So by way of review, there's an enemy of our soul. The Bible's clear that Satan exists and he's active. He's present in Eden, and then at the end, he's present in Job and in Jesus. He is all over. That is review that was free. How many of you like the review? Okay, I saw firsthand right here. Yep, here you go. Thank you for at least making me feel good about reviewing. That's good. But today's movie, Rogue One, we've got two things that I want you to get at. And the first thing that we get is from this scene. We pick the story up, as I already said, in the midst of a battle, because our life is in the midst of a battle. And the first thing that I want you all to get is we are in a battle, and everybody, here it is, everybody has a part to play. Unless you're a woman. Hey, start your own church, okay? See, this is what I learned growing up as a little boy, that the men did the important things in church, right? We might, Dylan, control your son. We might let a woman do some leadership, you know, on the keyboards and sing, and we might let a woman change a diaper in the nursery, but you know what? All the important stuff when it comes to spirituality belongs to the men. Well, that's point number one. Point number two, not at all. Everybody has a part to play, and the reason I chose this clip is because Cassian, the dude, is fighting the battle every bit as strong as Jen, the female. And there's been a lie that I think has permeated parts of Christian church that says women have a backseat role to play. And I want to say to you what you already said to me, boo, that is not true. Women and men both have equal parts to play in the kingdom of God. Amen. Except for leading men's retreats. Women, no. But isn't that a sweet clip? You know, I kind of like the movies of the day and age. You know, when I was a young boy, I'm 46 now, all of the heroes were male. And it never dawned on me, you know, until I got a little, well, can't women be heroes? And so I love this story because Jen's the hero of the story and Cassian's kind of her sidekick. And so if you're a man and you're sitting by a woman, or if you see a woman and if you need to tell the difference and help with that, you've got issues. But if you're sitting by a woman, just point at the woman and say, you're the hero of your story. Yeah, I love that you say it with passion there. Now this next thing, say it like you mean it. Say, somebody needs you to be the hero of their story. Say it like you mean it. Everybody has a part to play in the kingdom of God. Male or female, young or old, it does not matter. We're in a battle where God's kingdom is advancing and you have a part to play. And here's the question that I want you to reflect upon. Do you even know what your part is? Do you know what your part is? Turn to your neighbor and go, huh? Do you know what your part is and do you know where your part is to be played? Do you know the battleground that the Lord has given you to take? That baby knows. Now, if you're listening online, we just had a baby go, wah, 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 wah. That's great. Jesus would say this in the book of Matthew. He's talking to his buddy Peter. Peter had just said, you're the Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus says, I say to you that you, Peter, are the rock, and on this rock I will build my church. Here's the part I want you to get. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So there's a confession that Jesus is Lord, and the gates of hell will not prevail against the confession that Jesus is Lord. Now, I've said this before, but I want to remind you, right, because I'm sure many of you have forgotten, some of you are new around here. Gates of hell. There is an enemy in the story. You have a role to play in this battle. But gates, they don't chase anybody down. They're stationary. And Jesus says to his follower who confessed him as the Christ, the gates of hell will not prevail against you. That is to say, in this thing called life, there's a battle where you need to be advancing the kingdom against the stationary gates, and you need to knock them gates down. Stop clapping for a minute, because of course that's a good clap moment. Thank you for clapping, by the way. The rest of you, wake up, clap sometime, all right? But here's the deal. Christianity has been the fastest growing religion worldwide, except for in parts of Europe and in the good old US of A. Our faith has been dying for over 60 years in America because Christians like you and me forget that we have a battle to fight and we have a place in the battle. We come to church and we sit and we clap at the appropriate times, especially when the bald guy's spitting and screaming. Some of us are crazy and we'll raise our hand in worship. Others of you, if you're a little more subdued, might tap your foot. And then that's it. And then you go home and say, I did my faith duty of the week. Duty, not duty. You've done your faith thing for the week. I'm telling you, it's not enough for you to sit and listen to a teaching. It's not enough for you to sit and worship for, you know, half hour. I'm telling you, your faith is meant to be a part of your whole life every day. Amen. Because there's people trapped in hell who need you to knock down the gates and get them out. Now, let's just be clear. If you got a pulse, how many of you, let's race. Put your hands down. How many of you know you have issues? I win. I know I have issues, right? Somebody helped set you free. Somebody helped attack the gates of hell that were just keeping you in bondage and knocked them down so that you could walk out standing tall. Somebody knew that they had a fight to fight and you were part of the battle and they set you free. Who in the world needs you to get up off your church butt and do something? Turn to your neighbor and say, get off your church butt. Right, we say this a lot here too, right? We're so filled with church knowledge. Yes, John 10:10. There's a thief. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. We're like Christian bobbleheads. You know, we got all this knowledge in our head. But you know, in our faith journey, you know, as we grow from seeds to roots to trees, we were never meant to just know stuff. We were meant to do stuff. You know, the journey of discipleship is not simply, it includes, but it is not simply a journey of knowing stuff. It's about being transformed and doing stuff. And I've been asking a lot in the past couple months, how many of you are inspired by the teaching? Hello, yeah! Inspired, he's spitting and I'm inspired. Who cares if you're inspired? That's not the question. Are you changed is the point. This right here is not the game. Somebody tell me what this is.
Halftime.
This is halftime. And are you inspired enough to be changed? Are you coached enough to do something different in the second half? I'm telling you, that clip is a beautiful one. There's some action. There's some fighting. We're in a battle. And all of us have a part to play. And I'm wondering if for too long you've set aside your God goggles. And you haven't seen that quote unquote random encounter with that person at Myers as part of the battle.
It's just random. I saw him again.
Or that incident that happened at school where, you know, it's going on and somebody needed to step in and bring maybe a bit of peace. I wonder if you just saw it as something for somebody else to deal with. What do you think, students? Maybe the teachers ought to deal with that one. I wonder if in your neighborhood there's a bunch of disconnected people and you're just going through life without your God goggles on. Thinking, we're just disconnected. I wonder if you see that waitress at the restaurant as somebody just to serve you and not somebody to relate with. I'm wondering if in this first thing from this clip that there's a battle and you need to fight it if you forgot to put your God goggles on in the game of life. I got a word for you. I got a word. Lean in. Stop it! Go through life with your God goggles on and look for the opportunities for you to knock down the gates of hell and help set somebody free.
Amen.
Amen. Salim, I like the way you say amen. Have some candy. Turn to your neighbor and say, purposely. How do you knock down the gates of hell? How do you engage? Well, here, purposely. The fruit of the Spirit is love. You want to be a bad sucker in the fight for the kingdom of God? Then love. The fruit of the Spirit is joy. Joy transcends circumstance. I'm not talking about happy, hey, I'm talking about joy. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Even in turmoil, peace. Patience. Is anybody convicted by just hearing the word patient? Kindness. Cost you nothing. Goodness. Faithfulness. Gentleness. Self-control. Against such things there is no law. These are the things you put on as you go into war. Consider those things your blaster that will knock the stormtroopers of hell right out. There's a battle. Are you fighting? You know, usually you guys are pretty gracious with me. Thank you. I know I say things that are a little But I do it purposely, right? Because I don't want you to think this is like a place where you got to have all your stuff together. So I'll say things like crap once in a while and make parents cringe. And I've had a few people tell me, you know, I've never had to tell my kids to not say the things their pastor says from the pulpit, right? It's all on purpose because this isn't a pristine, churchy place. It's a place for real people who have dirty lives. Just live out their faith, okay? Most of the times, you're pretty gracious. But there was one sermon series. Whew, I got some emails. Just one in our 13-year history. Anybody remember the title? It was the title that threw people. Anybody remember the title? Actually, there was a second one. I just remembered that one, too. But there's one sermon series title that I got some emails on. Anybody remember? Who said where the hell? Eric? Oh, man. Katie, should I throw this to him? Would you bring that to Eric? He's back there. Eric, wave. Katie's going to bring this to you. Yeah, thank you. So I did a sermon series titled Where the Hell? And we had this big banner that said, Where the Hell? And we had little like 3-year-old kids coming in and say, oh, where the hell? It didn't work out so good. But here's the thing. Thank you for your service. Yeah. I loved it because it's what Jesus did. He came down on earth and he said, where the hell? I need to go there. Where is there hell on earth? It's over there. I'm going. Right, but church people often will say, where's there hell on earth? Ooh, it's over there. I'm going this way. But as you grow in your faith journey from a seed root to a tree, you're not going to run from the hell on earth. You're going to run to the hell on earth. Because you've got to fight to fight. And somebody needs you to engage. So let me just have you ask this question of yourself this week. Just mutter to yourself, where the hell? Just walk around the office this week and say, where the hell? I want y'all to look at my wife right there. She's going to send me an email. I know, honey. But ask the question, where is there hell on earth? And go there. Now, some of you, get this, have been doing it. And I want you to know that it's seen and it's noted, certainly by some of us, but by the King of Kings himself, and he's like, yeah. And he sees that some of you see hell on earth and you go there, and I'll bet you Jesus is kicking it up on the cloud. I don't know. He's talking to like the Archangel Michael. That's my boy. Look at him. He's going to hell and he's doing some work. He calls over the edge. Look at this one. He's knocking down them gates. And I bet you Jesus is proud of you. So some of you need to lead us in going to the place of hell. And some of you need to realize that you're not very strong in this area. You just need to look around and see somebody who's going there and say, can I tag along for the ride? Don't email me. You know what I mean when I say to everybody in the room, go to hell. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Don't settle for pristine, churchy living. Get your hands dirty. Find somebody who got their hands dirty in life and is helping people be set free. Look at your Bible and see how Jesus made the churchy people mad and he got his hands dirty and he lived it and people found freedom time and time and time again. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and tell them to go. Never mind. You know what I'm saying, right? If you're a guest and that offended you, I'm sorry. If you're not a guest and that offended you, I'm not sorry. Okay? So that was the first thing. There's a battle to fight. Everybody, man, woman, child, young, old, short, tall, doesn't matter. All of you have a fight to fight. So get in the battle. Here's the second thing. If you try to fight on your own power, you're going to get tuckered out. You're going to get tired. You're going to get really worn out. You're going to trip up. You're going to stumble. And you see in the clip that we saw to start this teaching, Jen and Cassian, man, they're just running frantically, looking all over, just barely getting by. Whew. You know, some of you are on the edge of your seat wondering what's going to happen. It's tiresome. I would even say it's deadly to fight on your own power. But in comes the man who's blind to teach us the second thing
of today's teaching from the movie. His name is Chirrut Imwe. It's a fun name. Chirrut Imwe. It's been a while since I've done this public service announcement offering names for those of you who have children in the womb. If there's any pregnant woman in the house, it's spelled C-I-R-R-U-T-I-M-W-E, Chirrut Imwe. Great name for your future child. You're welcome. He teaches us something. He fights a bit differently. He's blind. Watch this 1 minute, 10 second clip.
Take them away.
Wait, you can't take them away.
You, stay here. We need to check your diagnostics.
Diagnostics? I'm capable of running my own diagnostics, thank you very much.
Let them pass in peace. Let them pass in peace. The Force is with me, and I am with the Force. And I fear nothing, for all is as the Force wills it.
Hey, stop right there.
He's blind.
Is he deaf?
I said stop right there.
Junior Mintz, the Force is with me and I am with the Force, and I fear nothing. Wow. Junior Mintz, what's the parallel? It rhymes with Moli Mirit. Holy Spirit. Who said Holy Spirit? Did you say Holy Spirit? I'm throwing it. Can you catch this? I heard Holy Spirit here. The Ish family. Are you ready? The Holy Spirit. I mean, you can't have a more powerful biblical truth than what you just saw right there. Everybody else had eyes, but they didn't have eyes to see. And he said, I'm one with the Force, and the Force is with me, and I fear nothing. And he entered into a battle that others were scared to go into. But he went in with a little swagger. Because he knew he wasn't fighting on his own power. He had this thing called the Force. So I just yelled at y'all and encouraged you to tell you, you got to fight, get in the battle. Now I want to tell you, don't go alone. You have the Holy Spirit in you. That will enable you to fight like that sucker did right there. You know, I talked about the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, self-control. Against such things there is no, you can't do that on your own. You can't do that on your own. On your own, you're going to see the mess at school and you're going to turn your head and say, that's for a teacher to figure out. On your own, you're going to be with your friends at a restaurant and you're going to say, that waitress means nothing. But if you walk with the Spirit will give you something that brings power to your life. Now, it's been a while since I've done a little smart word forthcoming. Pneumatology. Everybody say pneumatology. Study of the Spirit. It's been a while since we've done a little pneumatology. And I've told you, if you've been here a while, you've heard this before, but I know you forgot it, so I'm telling you again, and there's a lot of new people here, so I'm going to say it, okay? When I was younger in my faith, in my young 20s, and I was learning about the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, I grew up in a church that believed in the Trinity, right? It was the Father, Son, and the Scripture, the Holy Scripture. We ignored the Spirit. No one talked to me about the power of the Spirit, the indwelling of the Spirit. But when I got there in the 20s, I began to get, you know, we have the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. But then I was stupid, shut your mouth. I heard what you're all saying. And I looked around at people who were, you know, living out in the Spirit. And I've repented. I'm just telling you how I used to be. But I used to look at them people and say, man, them people weird. Man, them spirit people, they're crazy. Right? And I remember I've told you, you know, the ladies on the TV show, they had this massive hair, right? You know what I'm talking about? And the eyelashes so caked in mascara, right? They'd clap. You could hear it clap every time they'd bring, clunk, clunk. And they'd be sitting in this gold chair, you know, and if for $10.99, they would send you a towel they prayed over, and that's how the spirit worked. And I'm like, if that's the spirit, I don't want any of it. And I remember we would go to some of the, this after the river started, we kind of got beyond that, said, well, that's just maybe their expression, you know, of themselves. So maybe we shouldn't throw the baby out the bathwater. So we began to go to conferences from, you know, hyper-Pentecostal movements just to see how the Spirit worked in. And man, I saw some crazy things. I was with a friend one time who was just, you know, walking down the aisle, and this woman came up to him, smacked him in the chest. Bam! Smacked him on the forehead. Bam! And started praying for him. Now, do you guys remember the old Karate Kid? Like, with, I mean, do you remember that way back when? Not the newer one, but man, wax off. He's wax off. It was so offensive what this woman did. She didn't even ask him gently, can I pray for you? She just jumped on and just assaulted him. Is that it when it comes to pneumatology? Is that it when it comes to studying the spirit? Do we just see the things that we consider weird, different expressions of folks who walk out the spirit, and do we just throw it out? What do you think? No. If we're smart, and if we're in tune in our faith journey from seed root to a tree, we have to grow in the things of the spirit. So you have to, you know, strain the stuff that needs to be strained and swallow the stuff that needs to be swallowed. I remember I'm sharing this story with permission. My friend Brent Resch went with us on one of these trips where, you know, we see weird things, but yet we're gaining good things. We're seeing some good things. We're seeing some weird things. We try to take in some and ignore the other. That's a good way to go about life, by the way. Right? You don't have to agree with everything you ever see. And you don't have to fight people who you just disagree with. You can just take some of it in and leave the other beside. So we were at dinner, and Brent sitting down, and he said, you know, he'd grown up in the church his whole life, you know, going every Sunday, a couple times on a Sunday. And he goes, I want to know that the Spirit's power is so real, I want him to hit me in such a way that there ain't no doubt in my mind. Actually, he didn't yell it like that, but, you know, that's just me. But he said that pretty impassionedly over dinner. So later that night, after the evening session, they had some prayer time. And this young 20-something-year-old girl, you know, was praying for people. She's a part of the conference prayer team. And Brent went up to her. She just put her hand gently on him. Wham! He went down. And he couldn't move for 45 minutes. He wasn't scared. He was kind of laughing. And he felt as if the Father had sent the Spirit to say, do you believe now? Wild. While at this conference, one of these conferences early on, you know, I'm like, God, is this stuff real? You know, and I believe I've been hearing the voice of the Lord for a long time, but is this power stuff? What's that cinnamon smell? Not my deodorant. Nobody was around me, and I was smelling this most beautiful smell I'd ever smelled. And it was as if the Spirit said, yeah, just take a whiff of this. And know that the Spirit is real. So some of you might have had a bad experience with the Holy Spirit. Some of you might be clueless about it. But I want to tell you that the Bible says the Spirit is real. I want to teach you a little bit here. Now the earth was formless and empty. This is the very beginning, Genesis chapter 1. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the water. So the first sermon I ever taught in the river's history 13 years ago dealt with the Hebrew language behind this. Who remembers that Hebrew language from 13 years ago? Oh, gosh. Come on, guys. I poured myself into that teaching. I'm just kidding. Of course you don't know. Formless void. I remember teaching this 13 years ago. The Hebrew language for formless void is just such a fun word. It really doesn't help us. It's just fun to say. And you're going to thank me that you're going to understand some Hebrew, what the formless void. So everybody say, tohu wabohu.
Tohu wabohu.
Tohu?
Tohu.
Wavohu. Your life is better. You're welcome. You now can say, you know, the ancient language, formless void, it's actually in the Hebrew means tohu wavohu. And it has a sense of formless, nasty, globular nothingness. 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 Everybody look around real quick. Do you see something? Do you see something? I see you. You see something. So there once was a mass of nothingness. And then here's some more Hebrew. Ruach Elohim, the Spirit of God, came on the scene. There once was nothing, and now there's something because a change agent was introduced, and the change agent with power that made nothing into something was the Spirit of God. I want you to point to your neighbor with your friendly finger, keep your driving finger in your pocket, your friendly finger, and say, you are something. I want you to point at that pole and say, you are something too. Point at the chair, something, something, something. There are so many somethings, and every something came out of nothing because one Spirit intervened and did his thing. That's power. I mean, that's power. Nothing to something. Power. It's the Spirit of God. Somebody say power.
Power.
This group's getting it. I don't know about you all over here. Come on, Stacy. They need you. I know you're getting it.
Power.
Yeah. There's power in the Spirit. So much power that the world was formed out of nothing. Because the Spirit came around, you were made. That is what?
Power.
That's what I was talking about. My man gets it. Where does that power come from?
Spirit.
That's not a trick question. Yeah, Spirit. Somebody say Spirit.
Spirit.
Do you not know that you are a temple of the Spirit of God? And the Spirit of God dwells in you.
Yes.
Everybody repeat after me. The Spirit's so powerful, the world is made out of nothing, and that very same Spirit lives in you. Unbelievable. And if we truly knew that, we would be like Sherut Imwe and say, you know what? The Spirit is with me, and I am with the Spirit.
Amen.
And I fear none. The Spirit is with me, and I am with the Spirit. The Bible actually tells me that the Spirit dwells in me. Get that? You're not convinced? Old Testament stuff now, Ezekiel chapter 36. God says, I will put my Spirit, and you who've gone to seminary, making sure you're with me.
Is that what it says?
Of course not. It says, I'll put my Spirit in you. You. Turn to your neighbor and say, you. I will put my Spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. The Spirit of God is put in you and will give you the power to do the things God would have you do in you.
Yeah, but life's hard.
And Paul says, we're more than conquerors.
Yeah, but you don't know my story. My life's been really hard. I've had some things done to me. You don't understand. I can't get none of that power. I can't jump in the fight. I'm too beaten down. You don't know the dumb choices I've made.
This is a nice message for that person. But you don't understand how much junk has hit my life. You don't know how I feel stuck. Does that describe anybody here? Do you feel like there's just too much junk in your life, like you're stuck? Anybody? One honest person. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, it's probably true. This whole Spirit power and, you know, purpose, it probably doesn't apply to you then if your life is difficult. So sorry. That's not true. So we need to learn to get one more thing from Star Wars. So we got a short clip. It's three different clips in one larger scene kind of spliced together. What's going on is the Rebel Alliance, that's the good guys, have stolen the plans for the Death Star. Oh, hang on. Spoiler alert. They've stolen the plans for the Death Star. And they're about ready to send the plans electronically through the cloud, kind of like we do today. Yet there's a shield that's blocking the transmission, and somebody's got to go flip the switch. So as we pick up this thing, we got Jen and Cassie and are dangling in the thing where they have the plans on a hard drive, basically, that they're trying to upload, and they're being shot at, and their life is tough, and they're in the battle. But somebody's got to help them by flipping the power switch to the cable that will send the message out so that Princess Leia, in the very first movie, spoiler alert, that Princess Leia can get the plans for the Death Star to the Rebel Alliance, and they can blow up the Death Star, and then we've got all kinds of Star Wars movies. It all depends on this moment. But who's going to flip the switch? Because the switch is guarded by these bad stormtroopers. They got really cool, you know, not just your normal white guy, white outfit thing. These guys are looking tough. They're guarded. Nobody's going to get to the switch. Who's going to flip the switch? And it reminds me the scene of some of us who have said, you know, life's too hard. Yeah, that's the goal. That's what I got to do, but I can't do it. Let's learn from the blind man one more time.
Melchi? Melchi, come in, please.
I'm tied in my engine.
I just need an open line.
Hang on. The master switch. It's out there.
Hang on. Don't stop. Nope. Stop. Stop. I wonder what happens. Did you see the... I'm on with the force of force. I wonder if he flips the switch. Or I wonder if a bolt takes him out and he's dead and they don't flip the switch. What happens? Well, you have to watch the movie. But I wonder what's going to happen with you. I wonder if you're going to hear the teaching about you've got a fight to fight. There's gates of hell that you need to take down, that there's the spirit that's in you that enables you to do amazing things. I wonder if you're going to be risky enough to walk across the battlefield and reach for the lever. And I wonder what's going to happen with you. I wonder. I know how to figure out what happens in this story. You watch the rest of the movie. I'm not sure how to figure out what happens in your story. I mean, it would be creepy if I just followed you around every day watching, right? That would be weird. What's going to happen? Are you going to flip the switch that leads to freedom and an end to oppression? Spirit lives in you. The Apostle Paul says, so I say, walk. It's a good picture. We just saw it. Walk by the Spirit. And you'll not gratify the desires of the flesh. Walk. Somewhere else it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Walk. For the Spirit of God, 2 Timothy, verse 1, the Spirit of God, the Spirit that God gave us, does not make us timid, but it gives us power. Power to love and to be self-disciplined. Consider yourselves done, did, taught. What you gonna do? Now, a couple things.
remember that the Sunday after Labor Day, to put away your white pants, right? And we're going to two services. What time are they?
9 and 11.
Yep. 9 and 11. Don't come to the 10. You'll either be late or early. 9 and 11 after Labor Day. And then get this. Pay attention. We've partnered with some international ministries. One of them is in Guatemala City. You know what country Guatemala City is in, anybody? Yeah, Guatemala. Yep, of course, yep. And a village in Uganda. Anybody remember the name of that village in Uganda? Odetel. There's a trip coming up to Odetel. It's November 29 through December 10. And we'd love for you to join us. There's going to be more information on that next week. So begin thinking about whether you want to go. We'll have some of our team outside the next week after the service. But here's the deal. We're going to take a grace giving offering. You know, a few times a year we have this glass jar up here, and it's beyond your tithes and your offerings, right, that go to the work of the ministry here. It's just money that goes, every dime goes to the work in Odetel. And so we have some projects that we're going to do. We got to get some people there. And so we're going to have a grace giving offering next Sunday where you can bring your spare change, a few extra bucks, write another check to help the work in Odetel. Does that make sense?
Yes.
If this is your church home and you're a follower of Christ, don't forget your joy boxes. If you need prayer of any kind, boom, right here. Have a good week. See you next week.
Thanks for listening. For more information, check us out online at theriver.info.